everybody.
All right, then. Hello, everybody. Friday, 5 p.m. We made it through what has been a crazy week in so many different ways. And I'm really here to celebrate 5 p.m. on Friday. Happy, happy hour. The happiest of happy hours when it's Friday, folks. So thanks for tuning in and joining Heidi and I for the next hour for American Hit Radio. On Fridays, we call it How Music Changed because of the fact that we go deep on a specific topic. And I guess you know by now, if you've been listening at all in the past half a year or so, that we have been going very deep with the Kinks. This, in fact, will be show number 25. When I start these series, I have no real idea about how far or how long some of these series will go. I think if you were going to ask me at show number one how many it would have taken, I would have said about 25. But here we are, and we're only up to 1972. So we've got a lot to cover. So I'm going to try to play as much music as I can, because right now we are in the era of the early 70s, which is a kind of a strange period for the Kinks. I mean, even a crazed Kinks fan such as myself might be forced to admit that the first half of the 70s were not the band's best. Judged purely by the albums that they released, it could easily be presumed that Ray Davies had become maniacally self-centered and isolated from his audience. The concept for the albums that he was putting out at this period of time, the Preservation series in particular, Act One and Act Two, served as a bit of a crutch to support Davies' own megalomania, in a sense. But put into a live context, the material attracted a cult audience in America at a time when rock music almost demanded some type of conceptualism in order to make it seem worthwhile. To my own taste, though, like last week, we looked at Part One, Preservation Act One. And it was all over the place. I'd be the first to admit it. It's hard to even say that there was a story there with those songs. It just seems like it was just a collection of things that somehow had the name Preservation. Well, Act Two really is the whole story. I think that this album, it's a double album, does a much better job of conveying the story of what it is that Ray is trying to do. That you can hear characters develop, a story actually unfolds. So Part One, in a sense, was really nothing more than a prelude, from my opinion. Also, a point that is often forgotten is that Preservation Act Two actually contains some pretty great songs. So if you aren't familiar with it, here's an opportunity to make up your own mind. Let's get the show started. We'll get right into it now with the track. Ray holds a lot of the songs together with what he calls announcements, news announcements, which set up a couple of songs. So the album starts with one of them. And then we'll play a track called Introduction to Solution.
It has been rumored that a new People's Army has been formed by a certain Commander Black. A few minor incidents have already been reported, and further unconfirmed reports suggest that this is a definite attempt to overthrow the present government, which is led by Mr. Flash. We would like to stress that these are only unconfirmed rumors, but we will, of course, bring you up-to-date news and information on these reports as they come in. Meanwhile, we do urge the population not to panic and to remain calm during the crisis. Please stay tuned to this station for further bulletins.
Mr. Black sits and ponders their fate. He just sits in the gloom of his dimly lit room, waiting for them to swallow the bait. While the rich run their rackets, he sits in his attic and casually plots their defeat. While the politicians cover up mistakes that they've made and all the promises, the lies and deceit. A military coup has been long overdue. Now there's fighting and panic in the streets. Amid the mass disillusion, dishonor and confusion, he will rise, now his plan is complete. But me, men drink champagne in their den and debase life with crude ostentation. The poor cry for more, but they're reaching the point where the people can't stand anymore. Let me
So, the story pretty much is spelled out there in those tracks. We read a bit from Dave Davies' book about the start of the story, about Flash basically being a gangster, a cheat, who basically is running the country, sort of like a cross between, like a Nixon sort of a character, like a Ford character. Mr. Black is his political nemesis. and they pretty much go to head. So Mr. Black's government, this is reading from Dave's book now, ushers in a new era of discipline, restrictions of personal liberties, rigorous rules of conduct, austerity, and complete compliance to the new order. Maybe the world that Flash had created wasn't so bad after all. Although his change of heart comes just a little too late, maybe the world would have been better off under his rule. What we are left with is a society devoid of all emotional and creative expression. The New World Order produces people who are like robots. The dilemma is that maybe power corrupts at every level. All systems have a worm at their core eating away at it, but which do we prefer? What system is more favorable? The question nags. I thought it was an interesting concept with great potential, but I felt it should have been explored as a theatrical piece or as a movie. Perhaps it may yet even, the movie, I mean. Regardless of my feelings, we started rehearsing some of the material. I was active on the engineering as well as the performing side, mainly because it seemed that I was the only one who understood how to use the studio equipment properly, because they just built their own studio. I enjoyed being involved with the technical side of our music. So this is one of the projects, now that the Kinks are in charge of themselves, they're pretty much, Dave has got them going full bore into this, deep into this concept situation. Not just one album of a concept, but a single album, which is Act One, and now followed up with a double album called Preservation Act Two, which is what we're going to dedicate today's show to, as much of it as we can fit in. Continuing with the story then, I think this is actually one of the better songs on the album, actually. It's called Money Talks.
Live with us.
in just a few moments, Mr. Black is due to address the people. We are now going over for live coverage of his speech.
Well, the scenes here are absolutely indescribable. I've personally never seen anything like it before. The crowd of around, 30,000 people, they've been waiting all day for the arrival of Mr. Black and his entourage. And it is expected that one of the main topics in his speech this evening will be the controversial anti-public corruption bill, which Mr. Black wants brought into effect immediately to put an end to the current widespread decline in public moral standards. And just a minute, there he is, I can see Mr. Black now. He's surrounded by, of course, all his bodyguards, and as you can hear, the crowd is going wild with excitement. It's clapping, it's cheering, as Mr. Black finally makes his way on that far side up to the platform. And now, yes, there he is, he's about to speak.
Sex and sin, down with pot, heroin,
down with pornography, down with lust,
down with vice,
lechery,
and debauchery,
and debauchery,
and debauchery.
Centurions, shepherds of the nation, we'll keep on our guard for sin and degradation. We are the National Guard against filth and depravity, perversion and vulgarity, homosexuality.
Keep it clean,
keep it clean,
keep it clean,
keep it clean.
Keep it clean.
Bare and pubic hair.
We're here to cleanse humanity
from the man in the raincoat's pale face glare.
So sodomites
beware.
Sodomites
beware. We are the new centurion, shepherds of the nation. We'll keep on our guard for sin and degradation. We are the National Guard. In jail, bring back the birch and the cat of nine tails,
bring back corporal punishment,
bring back the stocks and the axeman's block,
let righteousness prevail,
let righteousness
prevail.
Back and keep our country clean.
of course, is Mr. Black laying out his priorities, according to the story. It's so un-Kinks-like, though, on so many levels, to hear this album now, don't you think?
Not really.
You think it sounds like a Kinks record?
I mean, it sounds like him being experimental, but, I mean, knowing about his private life.
Well, yeah, good point. Right. I mean, but the thing is, like, if you were coming at the band from what you thought of them in the early 60s or even the mid 60s when they began to change drastically, or even in like when they came back in
totally.
The 70s.
This is I'm sure that it was a huge disappointment for a lot of people.
If you look at the sales, this is among their worst selling albums, the Preservation series. But listen how Ray talks about this era and the shows that accompanied it. The audience of primarily college students sat comfortably, expecting to see the Kinks perform as the Muswell Hillbillies. After playing some of our well-known material for 45 minutes, we launched into our new opus, Preservation. Jaws dropped in the audience as the young, hip college students seemed totally overwhelmed by the political satire that they were witnessing. The show had a Wagnerian opening with a chorus singing Morning Song, and then images of my alter ego, the villainous Mr. Flash, appeared. Mr. Twitch was played by Dave. Big Ron, the Minister of Punishment, was played by Mick Avery. The Minister of War was played by John Dalton, and the Drunken Bishop was played by John the Baptist Gosling. The band donned various outfits befitting their roles, and the show itself, which depicted the struggle of the proletariat against the cruel capitalist dictators, was Brechtian and minimalist. Mr. Flash was eventually overthrown by the mysterious Mr. Black, also played by me, who seductively promised a new society, only to lead the City of Preservation into becoming a dark totalitarian state. As the drama unfolded in the performance, which lasted more than 2 hours, we saw the audience start to engross themselves in the storyline, which seemed to resonate with them. They obviously saw parallels between Mr. Flash and Richard Nixon. However, Preservation was not a protest against the Nixon administration specifically. It was a protest against abuse of power everywhere. When the show reached its climax, there was a hushed hall and then rapturous applause. We had created something new, and despite our madcap antics on stage, it was totally original. As word about the show spread, other acts, including Pink Floyd and Alice Cooper, began using similar theatrical devices in their own shows. So although you can hear this and think, oh, this is a really failed concept, to the band and to the audience that was going to the shows, it seemed like it was a great idea.
But much like going to a play, you don't buy the soundtrack. A lot of people don't buy the soundtrack to plays.
Right. I understand your point with that. But let's continue the story and see what we think. This next track isn't. I should mention, by the way, that the previous track, Mr. Black's opus, was called Shepherds of the Nation. This next track is entitled Scum of the Earth.
They call me the scum of the earth. They say I'm the scab of the nation, but deep inside, I'm only human, just an ordinary man with ordinary plans. They say I'm crooked and bent. They call me a rogue and a villain. Thank you. boys, hoods and spivs have got the right to live. Oh, we slum-gutter, infantile, brute-force, educated, delinquent, juvenile. I am a product of mass-produced factory fodder, streets full of tenement blocks, rat-infested filth and squalor. I left school, went straight in the dole, and unemployment's no enjoyment. Welfare state owns my mind and my body and my soul. Kids never get a break, they gotta fight their way up. Beg and steal, wheel and deal, sweat blood to earn a buck. I didn't want to work on the factory floor, wasn't a ten, I wanted more. I'll be a slave to a lathe, work all day and go home bored. So second-hand cars is what I became. I built an empire, I used my brain.
So second-hand car spin, up from the slum. So don't judge him harshly, cause he's just a slum kid.
Track is entitled Secondhand Car Spiv. If you are just tuning in and wondering what is going on, you're listening to American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3. Heidi and I are here every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. And we are in the midst of covering a history of the music released, recorded and released by the Kinks. Now, that might, I would bet that for most of the listeners right now, they might be very confused by hearing this and hearing us even saying that it's the Kinks. My point is this. I mean, when we started this series, you were probably, you know, very glad to be hearing.
You were much younger then.
Meaning in 72, weren't we all? But I mean.
No, when we started this series.
Oh, definitely when we started. Yeah, it was a half a year younger. But if people are, if you're thinking, okay, wait a minute, the Kinks, yeah, You Really Got Me, or Tired of Waiting for You, Lola. We've been through that. We played those, and it was great. But they have this strange middle period that I'll bet is, like, virtually new. And it's part of my obsession, really. I'll admit it, that I'm like, now that I've gotten this far into being a completist about what we're doing with the band, I don't want to overlook these albums and just touch on them lightly. I mean, it was important to their history. So here we are in the middle of the Preservation series. We've played Act 1 last week, and today we are covering as much of Act 2 as we can, which we will finish next week, and then move on to other, not necessarily bigger things, perhaps better. We'll see when we get there. But this next track sums up what each character seems to think about the other. It's called He's Evil.
Sure enough.
from the album Preservation Act 2. That track is called He's Evil.
He is.
We are. This is show number 25 dedicated to the Kinks. 25 hours so far from 1964, where we started our history, and we are now up to 1972. Imagine that, 25 hours to cover approximately 8 years of this band, and we've got a lot longer to go. As we go forward, there's not as much material. I mean, the wealth of material was in the 60s, no doubt. We just got a call, though, from a listener, and I should point out that, I mean, it's really difficult to categorize, but I would say that up to this point, you could probably neatly divide the band's career up to this point into four distinct categories. There was the early rock and roll phase, which is the You Really Got Me, Tired of Waiting for You era, when they were a hit singles band. Then there was the era from, say, 66 to about 68, which I think was their most creative phase, probably, when they were making incredibly beautiful psychedelic songs about England at a time when they were incredibly unpopular there. And we're not able to tour in the United States. So a lot of those songs, which are masterpieces, and that's what we probably covered about 8 hours on that era, the Something Else and all that era for about from the history. Then by 1968, they started to become a bit more of a rock and roll band. That's where they started doing albums like Victoria. Again, still covering England as their main topic, because they were talking about people leaving England, the emigration to Australia, which was something that Ray and Dave had both seen first person with their own sister leaving the country to go there. And then I would say right around here we start, this is maybe the beginning, or I could say the midpoint of their fourth stage, where they became a flat out full a band, basically putting on shows, acts, the concepts. This is the concept phase. Quite admittedly, one of their least popular phases in terms of album sales. But they were selling a lot of tickets around this time. They were a very popular draw. People were loving to see that. I personally know people who saw the Kinks over 50 times around this point in time, just loving the way that they were playing around on stage. And just because the album is weird and the concept is weird, like I said, it doesn't mean that there aren't any great songs. This next track is probably my favorite on the album, on the entire series of Preservation. It's called Mirror of Love.
Yeah. crude and a rude lover.
Story, you would be told that there is Ray Davies actually singing the role of Belle, who was the lover of Flash, the lead character, of, along with Mr. Black, in the Preservation series. If you are interested in what we're doing here on American Radio, I should mention this now. We do record all of these shows and post them all on our website. So if this is new to you, if you're wondering, for example, we were talking about the different phases of the Kinks. We have all 24 shows that we've already recorded up and available on our website to play on demand. You can hear them whenever you wish to hear them. And you could, you know, pretty much wade your way through it. And you could actually discover for yourself the crazy depths to which we have explored or plunged in this series covering the Kinks. Not to mention the dozens and dozens of other topics that we've covered deep in depth. We've done a 60-show series on the Beatles, their entire history, for example. We've done the same thing for James Brown. We've done it for the Beach Boys. We've taken a deep look at some of the most famous recording studios of the South. And they're all over there on the website. If you just check out on the internet, go search for AmericanHitNetwork.com, and you'll find all of our shows sitting there in four neat categories. The Friday show being How Music Changed. The Wednesday show taking up two of those categories with the alternate top 40 and the top 500 of the top 40. And then the fourth one is for all the odds and ends that don't fit into one of those three. So check it out if you like. That's on AmericanHitNetwork.com. Now I just played that track, Mirror of Love, which I like that song, but I think because it has a bit of a New Orleans feel to it. Sounds like Dave is basically going a little bit for like an early New Orleans jazz like sort of a thing there, and he's got that vibrato in his voice. It's like it's a new trick in his hand, in his book that he came up with around this time in his career, and he uses it a lot, and it's really effective when he sings songs that have a little bit of an old fashioned feel to them, as that one did, and you hear him with that vibrato thing that he does quite a bit around this period of time. All right, we got one more track to play. It's called Nobody Gives, but just before that track is another announcement on the record. So we'll play them back to back. Here we go.
News has just reached us of a major victory for Mr. Black and the People's Army. The battle took place on the outskirts of a small village somewhere in the northern zone. Casualties on both sides are reported to have been very high indeed, and our on-the-spot correspondent describes the fighting as some of the fiercest in living memory. No quarter has been shown on either side.
I can't understand why everybody's quarreling. Nobody gives in case they lose face. And everybody's guilty. Everybody's innocent, and the fact of it is, nobody gives anymore.
Mm-hmm. throughout our history. Nobody gives unless they receive. And nobody trusts or is willing to believe. And nobody gives or is willing to conceive. Back in 1925, there were thousands of people struggling to survive. There was hunger, unemployment, and poverty. Then in 1926 he decided to be free. So they all went on strike, and
the workers stole the unions. He blamed it on the government. The politicians blamed it on the strikers and the militants. Everyone is guilty and everybody's innocent. Nobody gives anymore. Back in 1939, there was scores of German military waiting in line. And the fatherland wanted what the world could be.
I'll tell you. anymore.
Nobody gives. On the Friday edition of American Hit Radio called How Music Changed, what we do basically is we have 250 topics that we have chosen to look at in depth, one at a time, however many shows it takes. And this series, of course, is dedicated to the music of the Kinks, who are certainly one of the most influential acts of the rock and roll era. Although, I will admit, at this phase of their career, this album is one of the most forgotten albums of their career. We are covering it just because it is part of their history. Pretty soon, though, when we get out of this phase, we'll end up with what I would consider phase five of the band's career, which is when they became a world-famous arena rock act. So there's big things ahead for the band. Meanwhile, in general, I could say that this album was released in 1974. And 1974 wasn't a good year for a lot of the classic rock and roll acts from the 60s, just in general. The Beatles' solo albums that were coming out in 74 were weak compared to what had become previously. The Rolling Stones' career began to seem like it was like beginning to fade out. So the Kinks were more or less following that same more general direction, I think. Things and setting up the birth of punk rock because of the rebellion that would come from it all. But we've got time for one more from the album. We'll continue with this story next Friday as we complete Preservation Act 2 and then add a few other tracks as well. The last track we'll be playing today from the album, this is called Oh, Where Is Love? Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy this weather while it lasts.
In a world full of jive, full of homicide and suicide, there's no room for love and romance.
In a world full of spite, full of hatefulness and bitterness, sincerity don't stand a chance.
And every night I close my eyes and ask the stars above.
Oh, where, oh, where, oh, where, oh, where is love? Where is love and romance and the
stronger, but my mind continually wanders, and deep inside a voice keeps crying, where, oh, where is love? Where is love?
Sincerity, you don't stand a chance.